The man who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Vic Smith.
Yeah, that's what it looks like the Republicans in Kansas are doing, running straight for the hills and away from former Senator Brownback Mountain. Now the governor who brought in all of the crazy right-wing wish lists, all the tax cut fetishes, all the giveaways, the corporations, all of the, hey, we'll give you whatever you want, just come here. And what we saw is a whole bunch of companies moving from Missouri into Kansas, right across the street, right there in Kansas City, and reaping hundreds of millions of dollars of benefits while ending up putting the state of Kansas and Missouri as well in financial distress because of the giveaways. Here to talk a little bit about what's going on there in the great state of Kansas, maybe help us realize what was wrong with them and maybe what will be right eventually. I've asked Mateus Vernango, professor of economics at Bucknell University, come talk with us. Also a fantastic blogger at nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. We've got a link there at therickSmithShow.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So is this a great awakening of the people in Kansas as they finally wake up to it ain't working?
One could only hope, I mean, it's been a disaster. It's been, the final proof of how supply-side economics does not work. But I think it's underreported, this story. If you look at, for example, GOP debates, I haven't seen once they ask any of the three remaining candidates how they square their policies, which all suggest the same story: cut taxes, in particular taxes to the wealthy, and that would somehow trickle down to, everybody, and how that squares with the fact that this has been done in Kansas and the results are disastrous. So the notion is you cut taxes, people are so happy, with the lower taxes that you have this flood of entrepreneurial activity and growth spurs and employment goes up and tax revenues actually go up even though you cut taxes. And the fact is that they have had tax deficits over tax deficits. The revenue has completely fallen. They have been raiding the money for fixing the roads. So there you have even less money for maintaining infrastructure. They have cut the public employees. They have reduced the budget for education, for the public universities. It's a complete disaster. And this has not been sort of discussed at the national level. So there is an ability of these crazy ideas to survive, even though they're, clearly wrong. It's what somebody has called zombie economics.
But here's the thing, Mateus. I mean, honestly, we go through, look what's happening in Kansas. It's what's been happening in Washington for the last 20 years. I mean, we've been doing the exact same things, and yet the same kind of bumper sticker politics of we need tax cuts and it'll spur the economy without adding the caveat that you put there, and which we all know is it's tax cuts for the wealthy, not for the rest of us.
Sure. No, I should say in Kansas, actually, they increased the sales tax. So what he has been doing is he has been increasing the sales tax. So this is a complete disaster because it's a substitution of a progressive tax, an income on the wealthy, and an increase in the taxes of the very poor. Sales taxes, it exactly hits the people that, consume the biggest and or largest proportion of their income. So from that point of view, they did increase taxes, but on the poor. So this is a very regressive. It penalizes also, I should say, welfare. He has cut and has made welfare very difficult to get. He is obviously one of the governors that did not extend, the Obama care.
Right.
So Medicare, Medicaid, reform. So which also costs him. So that's an additional problem. And those things are, you're absolutely right. They're seen on the national level. For example, the talking points. You hear the candidates on GOP candidates saying that Obamacare has killed jobs, and it's a terrible thing, and people have lost their health care. And those things again, they don't square with reality. So the ability of this sort of supply side tax cutting ideology to survive is fundamentally a question of I would say media and the fact that, you know, Fox News and others sort of keep repeating this ad nauseum and people don't verify the actual results.
And I would argue it's that, and it's also the blind faith belief that this is going to work, because this is what the sainted Ronald Reagan brought us. This is what supply-side voodoo Reaganomics brought us, and we believe it, because if we just do it enough, it has to work, because it was there on the back of that napkin. Don't you remember? It was there on the napkin.
Well, you're right. Arthur Laffer of the, you know, famous napkin, he's still around saying that Kansas, you know, it will at some point, you know, turn around and this will be all fine and we'll have no problem. Well, what should say? I mean, I'm definitely by no means a fan of Mr. Reagan. I think things started to go downhill with him. So, but he actually, or his economist, I don't think he was the brightest guy to be at the White House, but his advisors did hike taxes at some point because deficits got completely out of hand, and so did Bush Sr. So the sort of more Bush Sr. who had called the Reagan sort of policies voodoo economics. So this more fundamentalist views, I suppose term for this have been a more recent phenomenon. It's a thing of the Tea Party, and you know, evidence doesn't matter anymore to some extent for this thing. So going back to your first question, I hope this is the eventually leads to a significant reversal of politics in Kansas. But you know, it's been a long-standing thing. You know, there is that famous book. I don't know how long ago by Thomas Frank on What's the Matter with Kansas. That sort of suggested that the people in Kansas have been, you know, a place in which one should say it goes back to all of the populist sort of movements back in the late 19th century and early 20th century, has been voting against their own economic interests for the longest of times now.
Yeah, but he was arguing it was on their social values and all of that stuff while they're just getting screwed economically.
Exactly.
And the hope is at this point, you know, they finally go, we've had enough already. Let's stop. But back to your point about Reagan. Reagan actually raised taxes 11 times, which I thought, you know, one of those things you go, wow, he really did. Because when he took office, the top marginal rate was 70%, dropped it all the way down to 28, as I'm sure you remember. But those tax increases didn't go to those folks. It went to you and me. And I will never forget as long as I live the tax reform bill of 86 that began taxing unemployment benefits for the very first time.
Payroll taxes was a huge slap in the face with the notion of saving Social Security. So we increased payroll taxes without increasing the maximum level at which, you know, people actually pay. So they maintain. So again, very regressive. That's true. He increased taxes in a regressive way.
Very regressive way, and a very, you know, I hear my Tea Party friend saying, Rick, you're talking about redistribution of wealth. I go, yeah, let's go back to the Reagan years and talk about redistribution of wealth, where we created a billionaire class and really also with it a poverty class.
Sure. And, you know, and I would even go further. So what? That there is a certain amount of redistribution in favor of the poorest in the country. So that's actually something that all governments do, something that reduces, makes the economy more efficient and leads to higher growth. So all of those things come with a more equitable income distribution. So I'm willing to have that discussion any day of the week. The notion that, lack of intervention by the government does not, as you are suggesting, I suppose, that, you know, it's not a way of intervening too. It's sort of, I mean, the government has not allowed for a level playing field, so it has favored corporations and the wealthy. And that's essentially what this is all about in Kansas, which lots of support, I should say, from the Koch brothers, one of them being based there. So
right.
So this is exactly what is behind this. So this is class warfare. What's going on in Kansas, and one would hope, and the other thing of this is also the weakening of labor institutions. I think that, you know, it's not just the cultural facts, as Thomas Frank suggested. It's the weakening of the American working class. So that has also led to to the weakening of the Democratic Party in places like Kansas.
Yeah, and really the splintering of us from each other. And I talk about that quite often. I mean, you know, when we were, you know, I guess my grandparents' generation were viewed as a joiner generation. They joined organizations like unions, like the Kiwanis, like the 4-H, whatever, all of those different groups. Whereas now we've been pushed for 30, 40 years, this individualist, hooray for me, screw everybody else mentality. And I'm hoping that as things get bad and continually to get bad, we're going to look at each other and go, you're not the problem. Maybe we're all the solution.
Yeah, one could help. You know, there's this whole discussion of, you know, the bowling alone thing, that the decline of social cohesiveness. And I think that certainly, you know, I would be sort of skeptical of notions that this has some profound sociological thing that is changing. I think in part this is the result of globalization, the opening of the economy to foreign competition, and the notion that was sold to everybody that the only way out is forget about the others, you have to fend for yourself. And so it's that sort of more structural transformation of the economy, an economy that is more open, that it's put under the pressure of more competition, has led to this sort of individualistic sort of streak that you suggest.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, people are, you know, younger generations are intrinsically less capable of solidarity than older generations.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're not capable.
No, I know. Yeah. I think it's important to point that out. I think that it's, and also, you know, the fact that we're left with less of the old blue collar jobs, the manufacturing ones, and more of the service jobs, in which in some cases it's harder to unionize and whatnot, and they were less unionized to begin with. So the efforts from corporations to disorganized labor were very effective.
You know, I look at it, you know, my hope is that this next generation, and I've got great hope for this generation, because I look at what's going on with the Sanders campaign. I'm looking at the energy and all that that's coming around, and I've got hope that they're starting to get it, that they're going to be the generation that turns things around.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it has, you know, the Sanders campaign and the idea of both of a notion of health for everybody and of education that it's free or cheap. You know, that was the notion that public schools that are really cheap, and, you know, that has gathered momentum. And there are other things. When you know, they Occupy Wall Street, there are several movements that have been around that suggest that younger people are more participative and might be willing to put the effort to revert some of these terrible tendencies.
That's the hope. So let's bring this back, because, you know, I'm hoping there's a lesson to be learned from Kansas, because here in Pennsylvania, there's a political party here pimping the same kind of bad ideas. And I see the ads on TV all the time now. I'll never raise your taxes. I don't care how bad things are, never going to happen. And we'll slash and we'll burn and we'll do all of the same things that are going on in Kansas that are causing, you know, billion-dollar deficits. The hope is that we learn this here as well. And I think by talking about what's going on in Kansas, maybe we can figure out how not to make Pennsylvania or other states Kansas.
Sure. Well, I mean, in all fairness, one should say that states and local governments have way less space than the national government to pursue counter-cyclical policies, to do stuff with taxes and whatnot. They have more binding rules for balancing budgets than the national government. In fact, it's often the case. So there are states that, for the most part, receive money from the union all the time. So they receive huge transfers. So if you think Mississippi receives something to the order of more than 10% of its GDP per year for over the last, you know, whatever, 30 years. This was data I saw recently at The Economist. And so it's a permanent, you know, recipient of funds from the rest of the union. And by the way, it tends to go Republican.
Yeah.
And And you have states that in normal times, actually, they give money to the union, and Pennsylvania probably is among those. But in moments of crisis, all states tend to receive money from the federal government. So the federal government is the ultimate fiscal sort of savior of the local units and whatnot. So there will be situations in which we'll have shortfalls because of a recession and stuff like that. The important thing in the Kansas example is that this is in the middle of a recovery. So all of the states have been, because the national government has pushed a sort of a recovery, we are all recovering. And Kansas has been recovering way less than the rest of the United States, with lower levels of employment growth. And so part of the lesson here is that we have to, you know, capitalize and use this, you know, for our advantage, the boom periods. In the recessions, we will still need the federal government to come up with the difference, so to speak.
Right.
And there are smart things that can be done. Long-term things, which do not, on the contrary, I don't think that they involved cutting taxes. So what they do involve is in the boom period, actually increasing the spending on education and the capabilities of your working force. So more programs to retool workers. So workers that are losing jobs in sectors that are not growing, create job programs so that they can be retrained in different things. Also provide more funding for relatively poor students to attend state universities at you know, relatively low, you know, I should say, free education. So all of those things would sort of revert in what in possibly higher benefits for the state in the long run. Yeah. So those are things that are doable, and that's the sort of thing we should be talking about in the period of a boom. So,
I'm with you.
So the state economy is more dependent on what happens on a national level.
Yeah.
And so the lesson is that we should not kill the boom, as basically Kansas has done, by basically using the boom to give money to the very wealthy.
And that immediately, that's where my mind went. So last question I've got for you then, is this another situation where we in Pennsylvania and other states in the country are going to bail out Kansas for their bad ideas that have redistributed wealth from their poor and underclass to the very wealthy? Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, sure. So, and now, you know, to the extent that it's the federal government, it's all of us. So definitely that's the case. But at a very high social cost. So consider that, you know, they have cut Medicaid. They even privatized the delivery of Medicaid. They have made it very difficult for people to get this. And so people will die for preventable illnesses and stuff like that. So we're talking that this is unconscionable, the sort of thing that has been done in Kansas. So yes, we all are going to pay for this, but the poorest people in Kansas are going to pay way more than anybody else. So there's no reason for this sort of thing in a country that is as wealthy as the United States.
I'm with you. And it's no longer the question of what's the matter with Kansas. The question probably should be what's the matter with the rest of us. Mateus, I appreciate the time, man. Great talking with you. Thanks so much.
It's always good to talk to you, man.
Always good to have you on the program. Mateus Fernango, professor of economics, Bucknell University, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Fantastic blog. We got links at thericksmithshow.com. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Get a good job with more pay and you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash.
Where smart policy and sound investment matters. The Rick Smith Show.